The buzzing was louder outside. Three gargoyles in the air were beating their wings fast enough to make a loud humming sound. It was incredibly handy as a warning system.
Miss Jessie!
Nathaniel ran toward me, ripping his shirt off his torso.
You need to call the gargoyles. Don't worry about the leaders, not for this. Do what you were meant to do and join us together. Bring them into the fight as a unit so they don't clutter up the air on their own.
Yeah, they'll want to go to battle.
Ulrich discarded his pants as he spoke.
You'll need to organize them.
I remembered Nathaniel telling me the gargoyles would want me to bring the fight to them. I knew in my heart he was right. When called to battle, gargoyles felt giddy with anticipation. They were a battle species, apparently like the Bassahaunic that had already gathered around us, wanting to do what they were made to do, fight. No problem. I flicked off my shoes and then shed my clothes. Austin grabbed me around the middle and hauled me to him roughly, his hand in my hair and his lips pressed firmly to mine. A car stopped not far away, loaded with shifters waiting for their alpha. They'd drive there and shift when they were close.
Stay safe. Find the darkness. Don't fear it. I'll never allow you to be lost. Guard what's most precious to me in the world, Jacinta. Guard yourself. I love you.
I love you. And then we were each going off in opposite directions. Him to get to the battle, and me to get in the air. They will not mess with our home. I shifted into my gargoyle form and then launched into the sky. I didn't know why these mages were attacking or whose mages they were. I'd thought Momar had all his people tied up in anticipation of Kingsley's battle. All I knew was that they'd be sorry for showing up on our doorstep without a larger arsenal. Because I'd bring in these gargoyles. I'd handle the magic. And I would show those useless leaders what it actually meant to be an army of gargoyles. My roar felt like it came up from my toes. Power boomed from my body, blanketing the whole territory and beyond. I felt Gimerel scattering away from the mages, having no more idea of how to handle magical workers now than they had the day of the raid. Come to me. Harder and harder, I boomed out my magic, and my wings made a distinct sound that I'd never made before. An urgent sound, not unlike the buzzing from earlier, but much higher pitched. It carried along my pulses of magic. Come to me. The flyers in my crew rose first, as the Bassahaunic stuffed themselves into cars or vans and headed out with the shifters. They stayed just below me. And then more flyers joined us, ignoring their cairn leader's orders to stay grounded and rising to my call. The darkness pulled at me, and I welcomed it, using it to boost my summons. Come to me! More gargoyles rose all around me, their anticipation palpable. I found those with resistance and pushed, working at them, coaxing them with magic. Not the leaders, though, who were all gathered angrily by the restaurant entrance. I blocked them from feeling the message, wanting them to watch me take their people out from under them. I'd give them back, but not until I gave them a taste of victory. And then I felt a rock in a turbulent sea. Tristan, his resistance ironclad, his will not at all bending. He needed something a little extra. The gargoyle in him longed to rise, but something within him pushed back. Some dark force would not allow him to go so easily. It felt a little like Neve when someone tried to force her into doing something. I wondered if he had a little Pooka mixed up in him somewhere. I added a little flourish of magic that could usually entice a person like her. It essentially translated to, pretty please. I had no idea how I heard his dark chuckle. I felt, more than saw, his deep bow. And then the mighty beast rose into the sky. His wings snapped and his people fell in around him, perfectly organized. A born leader waiting on my command. The other lead enforcers did the same, if not so perfectly synchronized. They brought their people in around them and waited.
Okay, let's go, let's go!
In a move we'd practiced many times, Ulrich and Jasper swooped down and grabbed the mages. As they rose, Nathaniel did the same, holding me so that we could go faster. Tristan followed directly behind and somewhat above my people. Another enforcer was below, and the others fanned out to the sides. As we cut through the sky, more gargoyles fell in, filling in my ranks. These were the solo guardians, the ones who'd come to check us out. Magic pumped through me, and my heart felt like a battle drum. I felt the distinct desire to connect with everyone in tow. They hadn't spilled blood on my behalf, but they would. I needed to feel their whereabouts and conditions if I was going to be able to protect them in battle. Through my gargoyle, I extended my magical connection. One and all snatched it up quickly, and one immediately fed me curiosity. Tristan again. He was analyzing each interaction with me, going along with it, but still feeling it out. I could see the blasts of light and color up ahead, mages pushing forward, a good distance behind a large grouping of mercenaries, firing at houses or people on the run. Anger throbbed within me. We'd run the last time we heard mages were coming for us. We'd taken the battle elsewhere. Not this time. This time, we were ready. The shifters were out of their vehicles. Austin's roar went up, a challenge. His shifters followed suit, organizing quickly below us in their heavily practiced formation. The Bassa Hawunik flanked their neat rows, hands out and bodies bent forward a little. The connections to all the gargoyles were insane, so many flying with me, each now feeding me emotional cues. It was too many. I couldn't compartmentalize them. Instead, I homed in on the lead enforcers, yanking our connections taut and then using magical pulses to communicate. Hopefully they understood. I'd practiced heavily with my crew. These people were strangers. I didn't know how to use this connection to work with them. Trusting they'd at least pick up visual cues, I leaned forward so Nathaniel would lower us in the sky as we reached the shifters. Jasper dove to get Nessa on the ground, and she quickly met up with Edgar.
This way, Shadow!
Why this way?
I never know!
Austin glanced up. Now, another magical blast for the gargoyles.
Follow me.
We shot forward, Nathaniel and me in the lead and the others in my crew fanning out in a V. Sebastian took up the rear. I craned my neck, looking behind to see if the new gargoyles were following. To my utter relief, they were, seamlessly, organized in a way that Austin would be proud of. At the lead, following right behind us, was Tristan. He was taking my cues and directing those around him, not just his cairn, but all the gargoyles. It didn't seem to matter that he hadn't previously worked with them. My God, but he was a hell of an asset. No wonder Nelson hadn't asked any questions about his past. We were nearly on them when the mages finally looked up. The first blast came right from me. Nathaniel threw me sideways and dove in the other direction. My team knew to split, and as I careened to the side, I half-turned back to throw up a shield before the spell could smash into Tristan. I was back and firing, blasting down at the mages with all my power. Austin would handle the mercenaries.
Lower!
Ulrich flew Sebastian by.
Draw their fire away from the shifters!
The mages went from leaning forward to looking up, and magic came at us almost immediately. The problem was that there were so many of them, 9 to our 2. We had to weed some out before the rest of my crew and the gargoyles could take them. I barreled down into them, taking their fire at close range and reflecting it back. I nearly made it to one of their mages before a spell came at me from the side, knocking me off course. I tumbled through the air and then along the ground, jumping up in time to throw up a shield for Neve and Mr. Tom, who'd followed right behind me. Syra rained down fire in their wakes, scattering the mages, but taking a spell for her efforts. Hollis, too, took a hit, and they careened in opposite directions. Hurt, but not dead. They'd be okay. Neve's golden hooves beat at the ground a moment before she slammed her horn into the middle of the closest mage. Mr. Tom scratched along another mage, taking a rough shot from a hasty spell. Grimacing, I launched back into the sky as Ulrich flew Sebastian around the mages, allowing him to fire powerful spells at them from right up close. They must have taken potions to help ward away magic, though, because his spells weren't doing much damage. Gargoyles scattered every which way, not used to this sort of battle, not used to the pain of these types of spells. They were out of their element, unsure what to do, scared of what was happening, even if they didn't want to admit it. As I flew closer, I grabbed the tethers of our new connections, one and all, focusing as much as I possibly could to pull taut every one. That done, I pumped into them support, courage, and a heady promise of victory. Into the air, I pounded a magical message.
Fight with me! We will win together!
Gargoyles once again fell in with Tristan, reorganizing. They dove for the mages, and I hurried to get there first. Spells zipped into the air. Tristan maneuvered better than I'd ever seen. He tilted and dodged, working through the air at incredible speed. Tristan reached the mages, but not before one of them hit him in the side with a spell that made him roar in pain. He snatched up the offending mage and, using both of his enormous arms, pulled the guy apart. Literally ripped his body in two like a piece of paper. Blood splattered everywhere. The mages around him scattered, scared beyond sense. They kept firing spells, though, now directly at him. I was there, shielding him from damage. No time to attack with any spells of my own. A spell buzzed right past me, a narrow miss. Tristan turned and grabbed me, firing up into the sky so fast that I might have peed myself a little. He held me as we did a circle, weaving in between the magical attacks and dipping so I could get spells fired off or shields hastily erected at the last moment. Gargoyles attacked, but not as a cohesive unit. They didn't have a clear idea of what to do. They weren't as fast or agile as Tristan or my crew gargoyles. They didn't know how to engage. I worked at those connections again, trying to energize, trying to bring them back together. I panted in fatigue, but didn't give up. Thankfully, my crew was well-versed in all of this. They were the saving grace. Ulrich took a hit, though, losing his grip on Sebastian. His roar sent a message to our team. Help! Someone needed to grab Sebastian. He could catch himself in a magical net, but then he'd be a sitting duck for the enemy mages. I flared my hands, frustrated when Tristan didn't recognize the signal I'd established with Nathaniel. This time, I added a little electricity in the movement. Tristan caught on, a shock of alarm coursing through him as he noticed Sebastian falling. Letting go of me, he sliced through the air, dodging enemy spells and snatching Sebastian up before Jasper or Mr. Tom were able to get there. I flapped my wings as hard as I could, trying to get closer so my defending spells would be more focused. Gargoyle arms closed around me, and I recognized the coloring of one of the Cairn enforcers. He picked up speed rapidly, and downward we shot. My spell covered the others right in time, blocking blasts from three mages. That little defense was all the gargoyles needed. They closed the distance in record time and dug their claws into the mages. Their wings flapped as they pulled the mages into the sky, making short work of frail bodies. When they were done, they threw the bodies down at the others. Five mages to go. One saw the carnage, turned, and ran back toward a street where a line of black cars was parked. He shouldn't have turned his back on a swarm of gargoyles. The gargoyle holding me let go and went after him immediately, easily dodging the spells tossed over the mage's shoulder. The other mages ran in different directions, not used to the aerial onslaught. Shifters roared behind me as I hammered down spells, taking advantage of the mage's fear and confusion. Shadows materialized behind one of the mages. Edgar zoomed in behind him.
Hello.
Digging his fangs into the mage's neck, as Nessa appeared behind another and peppered his body with her knife blades.
Jesse, look out!
I turned in time to see a blast of light coming right for me. My hands were slow in rising, or maybe time had just slowed down. Only one thought formed in my brain. This is gonna hurt. I prepared to heal myself as a big body slammed into mine. Ooh. Tristan. The shot hit him in the side, tearing through his wing. We careened, spiraling quickly. Tristan only had one wing now. Struggling free, I switched our positioning, holding him as best I could, and making a pathetic attempt to fly with him. He was much too heavy for my meager wings. Choosing a plan B, I began healing him in earnest as I lowered us, made it down, and then helped him to get cover. In a moment, I was rising again. Only two mages were left, and Sebastian hovered over them, held by Jasper, keeping them busy. I headed that way, once again grabbed by a random gargoyle, and helped Sebastian rain down magic. Our spells were faster and harder than theirs. The mages quailed, sinking down, and then screamed when five gargoyles swooped down to finish them. Breathing hard, I looked back toward the mercenaries, then realized there were no more mercenaries. Not any who were left standing. Ulrich's was the first roar of victory. His flying was a little wonky, but he was still in the air. Jasper joined, and then all the gargoyles were roaring, joined in a chorus by Shifters and Vasa Haunik. I shifted as soon as I landed, checking the mages just in case one had made it.
That was a grisly end, huh?
Nessa smiled, standing next to a body part I didn't want to get a closer look at.
And I thought Shifters were vicious.
Sebastian landed with Jasper.
Ha! Shifters are vicious.
A loud scream drifted from the mercenary area. One of the Vasa Haunik was lifting two disembodied heads into the sky, yelling out his victory. I turned away, my stomach rolling. That was way too much. I think we have a lot of vicious creatures. I felt my newly established links with the gargoyles. I'd need to figure out a better way to access them now that there were so many. It had gotten very confusing during the battle, and I'd missed people. Not that I ever could have covered them all anyway, but it would have helped to have a system. A few swells of pain caught my notice, and I homed in on them and headed in that direction. I reached a hurt gargoyle with a large gash in the side of his leg. Are you okay?
I'm okay, Ironheart. I'll be okay.
He pointed at the sky.
That felt good. What we did, what we were, together, that was fun. Dangerous.
I couldn't help but grin. Gargoyles, they did love a good battle.
Just go sit over there, okay?
I pointed to a little grassy area. I need to see how many people need my attention before I can start healing.
You can heal?
Why did no one seem to know that? I sought out the next hurt gargoyle.
Miss Jessie.
Tristan caught up easily with his long strides. Yeah, what do you need?
What are you?
Are you okay? The next gargoyle was badly hurt and barely clinging to consciousness.
Oh man, okay. Lie down. Just right here is fine. I'll help, okay? You're gonna be okay.
Where was that healer I'd sent a summons for in the Vasa Haunik lands? We could sorely use them. I started healing the gargoyle immediately, turning to Tristan. Get someone over here to sit with him.
Of course.
On I went to the next. Tristan caught up with me again.
You should be checking in with your people. Some of them are hurt. I don't have the energy to heal everyone, so only call me if it's life or death. Otherwise, I'm sure Austin has medical people on the way.
My second in command is seeing to that.
Okay. Well, what can I do for you?
Tristan didn't answer me. Instead, he shadowed me as I checked in with the next gargoyle, who was already being seen to by his enforcer, and then the last one, who seemed to be in the worst shape. I set to healing him immediately. Austin had already worked through his people, sectioning off those who needed medical attention.
What's the status?
He looked me over briefly, running his thumb along my chin, before glancing over my shoulder at Tristan.
Thank you for taking that magical blast for her.
She was more valuable to the battlefield than me. Simple as that.
Well, that kind of cheapens it a little. Austin ran his touch down my arm and peered into my eyes.
The darkness?
It was fine. I didn't even feel it recede. Throughout the battle, it just felt like me this time.
He must be acclimating to your beast. That's good news.
He kissed my forehead.
We have a few wounded. They took shots from the magical guns. Nothing that needs your attention, though. Broken is getting them situated now, and we'll get them home when they're a little further along the healing process.
How tough were they?
Mr. Tom walked by, and I decided that from now on, all of our cars would have a few moo-moos in the trunk, just in case.
With you covering the mages, the mercenaries were nothing. The pack has really come together. The extra support was the cream. This'll help them feel solid about going up against mages. You?
Everyone did great under the circumstances, but I didn't do a great job of keeping track of everyone. We were all over the place, scattering all the time. I haven't worked with a group this large before, and it showed. I didn't do great.
Pardon my interruption, Alphys, but I disagree. Miss, none of us have had training with mages. It was eye-opening. They can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time. This was our first time working with each other too, and taking orders from someone we don't know. Orders in the form of feelings and magical pulses. It was exhilarating, but an adjustment. The battle was quick and relatively painless in the grand scheme of things. Your untested leadership was better than I'd expect from an experienced commander in this situation.
I allowed myself a smile, shrugging a little. Thank you for saying that. I still see all the faults, and I don't like that I missed shielding some of our people. But thank you.
Hey, guys!
Nessa bounded up, a little blood splattered on her face and her smile radiant.
Hell of a battle, huh? I think it went well. And look, naked party! There's a lot of really fine backsides here.
She winked at Tristan.
Austin, Jesse.
Sebastian walked up, looking relieved.
Crap! Oh, sorry, Alpha. I meant Alphas. Whatever. Anyway, that battle went best of all. The mages were decent at best, but we handled them well. How'd the situation with the gargoyles go?
I knew what he was asking. Did this battle change any minds? Time would tell.
Neve sat on her porch, rocking slowly back and forth. Her rocks sat in their little pile by her chair, ready in case any tourists might happen by. They'd stopped coming for a while as magical people flooded the area and made Dick and Jane visitors feel like outcasts. But now that news was spreading about Jessie, magical visitors were starting to come for a gawk. She caught sight of the large shape coming down the sidewalk. What's that fella up to, I wonder? She reached down and grabbed the rock on top. Gimerel was supposed to have left that morning. They'd hung on for a couple of days after the mage battle, just in case more were on their way. They'd passed it off as a desire to help Jessie out, but given the gossip in the bar, it seemed their leader was worried about getting attacked on the way out of here. Their big leader enforcer drew closer, leaving the sidewalk and taking a route through the middle of the street directly for Ivy House. His glowing, turbulent gaze met hers, a spark of a warning within.
What is that now? A threat to mind me manners?
She let him get that much closer. Stood and threw. He didn't seem to notice. Continuing on, it would clunk him right in the melon. At the last moment, though, without even looking, his hand came up and snatched the rock out of midair. That lad sure had a magical boost from whatever part of him wasn't gargoyle. She had been racking her brain, trying to figure out what else he could be. But so far, coming up blank. Every time she tried to badger him, or manipulate him, or coax him into giving something away, he resisted admirably. He was a hard nut to crack. She was a little in awe, to be honest. She'd never met anyone quite like him. It was also infuriating. He turned his head to glare at her, pulled his hand out of the sky, and dropped the rock into his slack's pocket. Lucky catch, you bastard. And damned if he didn't smile like he'd heard her.
You You're gonna have dogs hunting you if they ever find out what you are.
You're going to be inundated with family if they ever find out where you are.
He stepped onto Ivy House soil as that gobshite Mr. Tom opened the front door. Will I, me arse? Our cousins were all scattered to the four winds. They didn't have a care where she was or what she was up to, just like she didn't wish to see them. Though if they did show up at her doorstep, they'd love the Bassahoonock concoction. That stuff was legendary. Assuming a body could get past the taste.
Don't mind her. She has never been housebroken. What can I do for you?
I am here to see the miss, if she's available.
Right this way, please.
Mr. Tam opened the door wider to admit the gargoyle, who was probably here to tell Jess about another list of grievances his wanker of a boss planned to file. Mr. Tom stood in the doorway after the gargoyle had passed and gave her a dirty look before shutting the door behind him. He felt curiosity get the better of her. She wanted to know why that lad had come here alone, and if the Alphas would be running the whole cairn out of here when Austin Steele found out they hadn't left.
I felt Tristan enter Ivy House and then Mr. Tom head in my direction.
What is it?
Naomi held her computer, showing me a sample design for the billiard room while we stood in said billiard room. She thought it would help with visualization. The gargoyles were leaving within the next couple of days. They were definitely dragging their feet about it. But the work on Ivy House continued. We had a long way to go. Tristan has come to visit. By himself. I have no idea why. Excuse me. Tristan had been a huge help in that battle the other day, and when we got back to the restaurant to get our clothes, he'd stopped Nelson from chastising me about taking his gargoyles. Then he'd stopped him from chastising me for endangering his people. Then he just removed him from the premises because Austin had gotten a little worked up about the whole thing. I told Tristan that he was welcome here any time. Maybe he was taking me up on that. Or maybe he'd just come to say goodbye. I met Mr. Tom on the second story stairs.
Mr.
I know. I passed him, feeling Neve coming up the walk. She entered the house just as I was coming down the hall and glanced in the first sitting room where I'd sensed his presence.
Good morning, lovely day, Essenset. What's that clown doing here?
I'm about to find out. Tristan sat on the couch holding the bracelet, moving it around in the light. I took a seat opposite him, wondering if I replaced some of the real gems with fake ones?
I used to think this bracelet was beautiful.
Not now? He looked up before turning and laying the bracelet on the table behind him. We hadn't moved it since the raid.
No. I see how hollow the achievement of protecting it was.
That wasn't hollow. You lead a fine team. The best team, right? Because no one could best you and get that bracelet.
You bested me.
I also lead a fine team. Or, you know, have a fine team. They just kind of seem to do whatever they want at this point. Sorry about Syra's addiction to stalking you. She doesn't mean anything by it. She thinks it's a fun game. She couldn't care less about your secrets.
Who told you she was following me?
She usually rats herself out eventually.
Miss.
Mr. Tom stepped into the room and bowed.
I was going to ask if you wanted me to make up some snacks or bring in something to drink, but you sprinted away too quickly and made me chase you all the way to the front of the house.
I stared at him for a moment. And I'm sure Tristan doesn't think less of our professionalism after having heard that.
Of course not. Can I get you something to eat or drink? Espresso, cortado, café au lait?
I lifted my eyebrows at Tristan.
No, I'm...
Or how about an iced coffee? Something spicy, perhaps? We're nearing the pumpkin spice season. I can nudge it here just a little early. What about a wonderful...
I've changed my mind. How about an iced ristretto, 10 shot with brief, 4 pumps of caramel, 3 pumps vanilla, poured not shaken, with heavy whipping cream on top and 3 sugars, 2 mixed in and 1 on top to make the cream crunchy.
Mr. Tom blinked at him for a moment.
Excellent choice, sir. Coming right up!
I blinked at him, too. Tristan smiled.
I figured it would give him a challenge.
You figured correctly. What can I do for you, Tristan? Or is this a friendly chat? He leaned back, his expression turning serious.
I didn't know what to expect when I came to this territory. The setup sounded a little absurd, I will admit. It didn't take me long to see the merit in your mate, though. He has a firm handle on this pack. But it was you who blindsided me.
I wasn't sure if I should say thank you, so I just kept quiet.
All of the gargoyles coming here heard that you were new to this life and totally inexperienced, completely green.
I spread my hands. They'd be right. He shook his head.
No, they wouldn't. Your experience is in actual warfare, real battles. When you took a stand against those mages, it was clear that you have more experience in your short tenure than my leader has had in his many years, than any of the living leaders have. We all saw it. We felt it through this new link. Is this link forever?
I honestly don't know. The house likes to keep things from me. I'm trying to figure it out, though. You're not trapped. Hopefully. He shook his head again.
You mistake me. I don't feel trapped. I feel connected. In that battle, I felt connected. All my guys did. To you and to each other. It was an amazing feeling. A natural feeling. Like we were always meant to have a female bring us together and keep us bonded.
I smiled as my heart swelled a little. It felt good to have done something right with the other gargoyles for once. Something that wouldn't immediately result in a grievance being filed against me.
I've been watching you. I've been watching your crew and your mate. I've thought a lot about it. And if you'll have me, I'd like to join your team.
What was that?
I can start at the bottom and work my way up if that's how you do things. Or I can challenge my way into Alpha Steel's pack, if that's the preferred method. Regardless, I'd like to ask for inclusion.
I hadn't expected that. I tried to keep my cool and not dance or scream or fist pump the air. Having him would be a dream come true. He was strong and fierce and a great leader. He also had great respect within the gargoyle community. There was only one glaring issue, his history. I decided not to beat around the bush. Are you safe? Neve seemed to think you might not be.
Neither is she. Neither are you. But there is an issue that we do have to discuss. I didn't want to bring it up unless you were seriously thinking about bringing me on.
Which is?
As far as gargoyles are concerned, I don't have any Cairn history. I'm a nobody. Nelson purposely chose to look the other way when I joined his Cairn because of my size and strength. Now he holds it over my head, threatening me with exposure that would tarnish my reliability in the gargoyle community.
Is that a fact? I leaned against the armrest, trying to curb my anger. A smile slowly spread across his face.
You just can't hide that protective instinct, huh?
I don't see any reason to. Why would that tarnish your reliability?
No previous Cairn means no history. And that means no birth status or known stability. I'm a wild card.
We're a wild card, though, right? You've been in his Cairn for nearly 15 years.
Not very long by gargoyle standards. I took my time deciding to join up.
I wanted to ask why, to ferret out that history he protected so closely. But I knew I couldn't. Not after making such a big deal about not caring and not wanting to ruin his future. So what are you saying? If you leave him and join with us, he'd out you?
Yes.
Which basically just means people would know you have an unknown past?
Yes.
And why does that affect me?
It would greatly lower my status, and in turn, lower yours.
From what I've heard, my status can't get much lower.
I wouldn't be able to help your status then.
I was suddenly tired of this whole thing. I honestly don't care. Is that the end of the bad news, then? He won't come with torches and pitchforks and chase you or anything? His smile stretched again.
He might have, if it were anywhere but here. He's in no hurry to return to this territory.
Good. Well then, I guess it's my turn to potentially scare you away. That attack the other day was no fluke. We are attacked all the time.
Sounds intriguing.
You'll need to get along with the shifters and take orders from Austin. We co-rule this pack, as you've seen. He's just and fair, but he's strict and doles out harsh punishments if you step over the line.
He is an incredible, competent leader. He and his pack are an attraction for this territory.
And now, the most serious part. I've drawn the eye of a mage with a magical empire, and our feud has barely even begun. I'm not sure if he sent the attack the other day, but he has a target on the shifters and on me. I told him about helping Kingsley and that we'd eventually have to venture into the murky depths of the mage world. We're going to help Kingsley combat the mage attack. We'll leave almost immediately, within a couple weeks. It'll be incredibly dangerous, much more so than the other day.
You had no idea the attack was coming.
None. We were utterly blindsided. Sebastian and Nessa hadn't heard a peep through their network that this was coming. They're currently piecing together who it was and why they might have attacked. I'm damn glad you guys decided to hang around. The timing really helped us out. Not to take pleasure in the situation, since some people got hurt, you included. But without all of you, we might have lost someone.
The timing was quite a coincidence.
I leaned forward, knowing my expression was serious. I hope you don't think we planned that. Honestly, if I'd known something like that was coming, I wouldn't have allowed any of the Cairns to come in the first place. It wouldn't have been the first time I warned potential allies of the danger following us.
I believe you. I think I speak for a lot of gargoyles when I say that we got lucky the timing worked out.
Yeah, you guys are crazy. Anyway, life in this territory won't be fun and games. But if you want to join us, we'd love to have you.
Here we are!
Mr. Tom walked in much too quickly, his wings fluttering.
Yes, 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 yes.
He stopped near Tristan, leaned over, and held out the tray carrying the coffee.
Here we go. It took a few tries to get it exactly right. I hope you don't mind, but I altered the recipe just slightly. Try it and see if you like it.
He tapped his foot as he waited for Tristan to take a sip, watching every movement. He'd clearly sampled the merchandise.
Delicious. Many thanks.
Well.
Mr. Tom preened, bent his arm at the elbow, and tilted from side to side for some unknown reason.
Fantastic. I'll just go and find some cobwebs to clean.
He walked out while still talking.
You let me know.
I should probably also warn you that my crew is, well, weird. They're all pretty weird.
When trying to warn someone away, you might want to lead with that.
Nelson was livid at Tristan's resignation. He threatened to out his murky history, insisted he wouldn't take him back after I inevitably ran my territory into the ground, and promised me he'd make my life a living hell. The very next day, proof circulated of Nelson's mishandling of his production cairns, embezzlement, abusive behavior, and even the murder of gargoyles who'd stood in the way of his securing better contracts. Nessa and Sebastian had been saving that little nugget for a rainy day, it seemed, and Patty had run with it. We offered to take over their contracts, offering the production cairns a fair deal with a larger supply and demand chain, since we'd branch out to the world at large, not just stay within the gargoyle community. We took on Anthot as well, who came to see Austin and me shortly after the battle. Tristan's defection had started a windfall. A lot of guardians had been circling us, waiting for a nudge to take the risk and join us. Tristan was that nudge. He might have lost status because of his history, an arbitrary thing, but he was known for his battle prowess and level-headedness. If he thought we were a good bet, a lot of other Guardians weren't about to say boo. He brought them on in droves, quickly and effortlessly working with Austin and me on how to best organize and manage them. He'd be Austin's second beta, handling the gargoyles while Broken Sue handled the shifters, taking their orders from Austin and me. I'd gotten my army. Not just a gargoyle army, either. The Bassahaun, secretly going by Phil, had turned into a sort of recruiter. He knew which of his people to talk into visiting, usually going for the ones around his and the Bassanderese age, and once they were here, none of them wanted to leave. The Bassanderee in charge of the wood was changing the feel of it, very slowly but diligently, and they liked the idea of starting fresh in a place with family. They liked the idea of building a wood of their own that their parents had had no hand in. Dave had brought 2. 9 went to battle. Another 10 came out shortly thereafter. We didn't have them all, but we were gaining Bassahaunic allies. The other great news was that Mr. Porsche, as Nessa called him, contacted me shortly after leaving. He apologized for the part he'd played at the end and asked if he might visit again. Maybe we could take a ride in the Bentley or have a barbecue at Ivy House. He also offered his support in our upcoming battle to help Kingsley. Tristan said it was his way of offering his Cairn's friendship to us and a huge step toward building our status. I didn't care about the status. I was absolutely giddy over his offer of help. In mere weeks, we would head into Kingsley's territory with real help, with hope. In mere weeks, we'd head into the battle of our lives.
Ah, here. We've got another one. Neverage down next to her. As a mousy woman in her late 20s walked along the sidewalk, looking at all the houses as she passed. A navy bag crossed her body and hung at her hip, and her grip was tight on the strap. Rectangular glasses with thick black frames sat on her button nose, which was dusted by a smattering of freckles. When she was close to Neve's house, she slowed. Her gaze drifted to Ivy House and stuck. Get off with you, you bugger! Neve threw the rock. This isn't some museum! Her rock landed home, plunking the woman on the head. The woman held her head and looked at the sky. She didn't know where the rock had come from. Here, let me give you another clue. Neve let fly with another rock. It hit the woman again.
Ow!
The woman ducked and threw up her arms. She swiveled to Neve this time, figuring it out.
Why are you throwing rocks at me?
We aren't some kind of circus attraction. Neve reached for another.
That's not why I'm here.
She held her arms out in front of her and stepped into the street, not looking for cars. Brakes squealed. Austin's Jeep slid to a stop as she wandered out in front of it.
Oops. Sorry.
She didn't head back to the sidewalk, though.
Are you okay?
Austin stepped down from the Jeep.
Yes, thank you. That woman is throwing rocks, though. Watch out.
Neve sat down smoothly, disappearing the rock into her pocket. No need to get in trouble with the Alpha. He could be right cross when a person got him in a bad mood, and with their upcoming departure to go help his brother, tensions were running high.
She'll stop, don't worry.
Austin Steele directed the woman to the sidewalk.
Do you need help getting somewhere?
No, I don't think so. I'm headed there, I think, to that house.
She pointed at Ivy House.
Is that right?
He studied her a little harder.
Do you have business with its mistress?
I don't know.
His eyebrows climbed.
Why are you going there?
She paused for a moment.
I don't know. I keep getting this feeling like I should go there, so I'm going to go there.
A feeling?
He glanced over her at Neve.
What kind of feeling?
Like an invitation.
What is it you do?
I'm a healer.
Shivers washed over Neve. This was the result of the summons Jesse had sent out accidentally in the Bassahuna clans. A body never really knew what to expect with a summons. They could be volatile. They could not work out. One thing they always tended to be, though, was disruptive. The timing was either great or terrible. They'd all find out together.
Leveling Up 7, Magical Midlife Challenge by KF Breen is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2022 KF Breen, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2025 Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Narrated by Karen Novak as Jesse, Dawn Ursula as Nessa, Danny Gavigan as Austin, John Keelty as Broken, Kay Alluvian as Neve, and Rainer Gabriel as Sebastian. With Dejanette Horn as Tristan, Holly Adams as Patty, Lily Beacon as Naomi, RJ Bailey as Mr. Tom, and Ryan Dalusung as Ulrich. Also with Rob McFadgen, Gabriel Michael, Steve Winall, Chris Davenport, Christopher Walker, Rob Moreira, Julian Daly, Christopher Graybill, Danny Montooth, Jonathan Church, Rita Amparita, Bradley Foster Smith, Christopher McClendon, Nora Ashradi, Ryan Haugen, Todd Schofield, Jessica Threet, Elena Anderson, Troy Allen, Yasmin Twazon, and Scott McCormick. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Karen Novak. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nicole Shera and Ruby Liebeschak. Theme and original music by Vanessa Thurlow. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Keep listening to hear a sample clip from Hidden Legacy 1, Burn For Me, by Alona Andrews. Now available in graphic audio at www.graphicaudio.net.
The door opened, revealing a room lined with monitors. They sprouted from the walls and ceiling on narrow mounts, like rectangular electronic flowers blooming among vines of cables. In the middle of this digital jungle, in a broken circle of keyboards, a man sat on a rotating platform. His clothes, a grimy, dark long-sleeve t-shirt and a pair of fatigue pants that had seen better days, hung on his slight frame. His disheveled dark hair, dragged rather than brushed from his forehead, competed with his clothes to see which lasted without washing the longest. His big eyes with brown irises burned with a manic intensity. His hand shook.
Give it to me.
He jumped off his chair. He was about my height and weighed about 20 pounds less. I raised the taser. Work first. He bounced in place.
I need it. Give it to me.
Work first.
Give me. Give it to me, bitch! Give me!
Work first!
Fuck! What?
Adam Pierce. Find him.
One to take the edge off. One?
I passed the vial to Mad Rogan, keeping the taser on Bug. He'd made a lunge at me before. Please give him one pill. Mad Rogan opened the jar. A pill rose in the air and floated to Bug. He snatched it out of the air, yanked a knife from the sheath on his belt, put the pill on the table, and sliced a third off. Fingers trembling, he swiped the smaller section of the pill off the desk and slid it in his mouth. Bug froze, standing on his toes, his hands straight down as if he'd been about to take flight. The shaking stopped, and Bug's eyes fell shut. He became completely and utterly still. Mad Rogan glanced at me. Equazole. Equazole was a military drug designed to level you out. If you were sleepy, it would keep you awake. If you were hyper, it would calm you down. When you took it, the world became clear. You saw everything, were aware of everything, reacted fast, but nothing broke your focus. It was issued to snipers and convoy drivers. They would take it to keep from overcorrecting or giving in to fatigue. And once it wore off, they'd sleep for 20 hours straight. It was a classified substance, but my mother still had connections. Bug opened his eyes.
They're quiet.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social media platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.